Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying the ghost stories here on this show, be sure to check out our true crime podcast called True Crime Today. Search it wherever you download podcasts. Myself, Carol Hughes, Stacy Cole, all discuss the latest in many true crime stories, dark, disturbing, and sometimes just plain crazy. Check it out, True Crime Today. Search and press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Here's a preview of one of this week's episodes of True Crime Today. An Oklahoma couple accused of killing a sister who is haunting them, leaving her body in plastic for years. A Brooklyn bishop robbed of over $1 million in jewelry. During a live stream service, and a Tulsa man allegedly tries to rob a convenience store, decides to pay for his cigars when that doesn't work out so well, and then flees on a bus.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
He said he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today starts now.
That indeed it does. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of our program. It's Tony and Stacy Cole with you on today's episode. What's going on?
Hey, it's just another day in paradise. How are you?
It is. I'm sitting here and this is going to air towards the end of the week. But as we're literally recording this, I'm looking at the breaking news of Pelosi landing in Taiwan. So I'm also kind of waiting for the bright lights to flash outside my house. So then suddenly we're all gone.
Well, it could happen. It could happen.
I
better get this released sooner then.
I don't know what the hell's going on and I'm not taking a political side on it. All I can do is just look at this going, why are we fucking with this? Why? It just seems like a very unnecessary. It's not like this is some very important meeting. She's meeting with some activists. I get it, but it's like Skype, Zoom. I don't know. When the other country that's not yours is saying we may like take military action against you for your little meet and greet, maybe we say it's not our country. We don't want to do the meet and greet anymore. But considering all the other tensions that we have in this world, this seems like one we could have fucking avoided.
I wholeheartedly agree. One of the other things that's got me a little, my feathers are ruffled a little bit, was that golf tournament was it this past weekend?
I don't know.
With the Saudis?
Oh, was Donald Trump golfing with the Saudis? Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Of course, there's money involved.
Well, and that's the thing. And so I guess, as they always say, follow the money. So something is going on. And that's why Pelosi's over there. I you know, government is so corrupt. And I'm waiting for the black Suburban to show up outside my house now, too. But there's so much going on and there's so much corruption. Yeah. I don't know that we'll ever get to the bottom of it.
I don't like either side. So I'm just like, I just think everybody's making idiotic choices. And I don't know. I feel like I don't know. Cause by the time this airs, she'll have come and gone and we'll know what the outcome has been. So it's already dated by the time this airs. But I almost feel like this is a distraction of some sort. Where there's something else going on behind the scenes. And this is like, oh my gosh, look how crazy this could be. And in the meantime, everybody's looking over here while, you know, the dealer's doing something over there. So what that other thing is, I don't know. But it just seems like this is too organized of a potential crisis to be a potential crisis. Although I could be completely wrong. There could be holy shit that has gone on since I've said those words. So.
Well, but the thing is, I think you're right. This is a wag the dog situation. Yeah. It's distracting from something and I don't know what. And I feel like anytime that there is some sort of government meeting, somebody's going to another country for another reason. I feel like there is something like, well, wait a minute. You want us to look over there? What's going on back here?
Yeah, this just seems like too, I don't know. It just seems too weird. I mean, same with the, there's just been too many weird things. Again, not a conspiracy theorist, but kind of feel like I'm becoming one. Like last week, was it with you that I talked about the the Uvalde school shooting and the officers that held the guy back, or was that a different show?
That was a different show, okay. But I do recall the story that you're talking about.
There was an officer that had his wife was in the classroom that was being shot up, and he tries to get past the other officers to go and help and do his fucking job.
And they won't let him.
They held him back and physically led him out of the building when he was trying to go save his wife. If it was me, and I said this last week on the show, if my kid's in there, if my wife's in there, and someone's standing in my way, I don't fucking care if you're my coworker or you're a fellow officer and I have a weapon, you're going down if you're going to stop me from getting in there.
Well, especially when you know exactly what's happening in there.
Exactly.
It's not like someone just said, I'm taking some kids hostage and I want, you know, $70 million and I'll let them free. No, he was actively shooting these kids.
Yeah, it wasn't like the middle of a negotiation segment or something where you're doing, it was active shooter. And they literally held him back. And to me, that's like, what the fuck? Were they really that stupid? I mean, there's two things here. You either believe that they're really that stupid, which really could be the case. But I think so many of us believe that our fellow human beings, especially hopefully the law enforcement officers of our community, are not that stupid and there must be something else. So it's almost a little more comforting to think, well, maybe they were in on something. I mean, it's greater, it's darker, but there's more logic to it. So either
it makes a little bit more sense that they were up to something instead of they were just downright blocking somebody from going in and making a move that they weren't willing to make.
But how do you have all these yokel police officers who have families? It's not like there's just like this new group of police officers that showed up in the town and then suddenly they're doing this weird shit. They live there. They have families. Yeah. So that creates a whole other problem to how the conspiracy even works. You have to assume then that all these people have somehow been indoctrinated or I don't know. They're somehow going along with something that they shouldn't. So how is that functioning? How have they been influenced to do that? Are they literally that lemming-like that they're just following the orders of the person above them so they don't get in trouble, even though there's children being executed feet away from them? Or is there something else? I don't know. I mean, it's nothing where I'm saying that any of this is fake because it's all real. These kids died. These families lost their kids. But I just feel like there's something else that's going on that caused this to happen and caused these officers to not do their job that we don't know about. And all these kids ended up dying for somebody's greater reason, which is not logical and doesn't make sense and is horrible. But I feel like there's somebody or something that is more at play here. And I don't know what the fuck it is.
Something is weird about the story because they had just done an active shooter training weeks before this occurred. So it does, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it does. I'm getting to the point now where I want to entertain the weird, crazy shit because
we need to.
You might actually find some answers there. It's worth at least asking the questions.
I'm finding
the answers.
I'm finding more answers in a lot of things like that. And we're looking historically too back on some things too, where even in the last couple of years where it's like, well, they told us this and it was that. They told us this and it was that. And it was a lot of conspiracy theorists that were screaming some of those things. And a lot of us were like, no, I think there's other shit going on.
And oh, absolutely.
I don't fucking trust anything. So who the fuck knows? But there you go. Let's go to the story here. The Oklahoma couple accused of killing a sister who's now haunting them, leaving her body in plastic for years. I would haunt them too if I was the woman. This is from the Oklahoman. It's out of Norman, Oklahoma. Evidence in a murder case against a couple includes her Facebook messages about how the victim was haunting them, a police detective reported. Octavio Juan Sanchez, 35, and his wife Desiree Sanchez, 27, were charged Thursday with first-degree murder and unlawful removal of a dead body. They're accused of killing Margarita Maggie Sandoval in 2018, hiding her body for years, and spending her monthly Social Security disability payments on themselves. Police found the decomposing body in a wrapped plastic container in the basement of a Norman residence on May 13th, 2021, after getting a tip. The homeowner, Miguel Muanz, confessed to helping the couple put the body in the basement in June 2019. The Norman police detective wrote in the court affidavit. Muanz informed investigators that Octavio stated he and his wife Desiree killed a child molester. Muanz quoted Octavio as saying, "Desiree started it, and I had to finish it," the detective wrote. The victim was the sister of Octavio Sanchez and had the cognitive abilities of a child, and the investigation found. She had lived in a group home in California and later with her sister in Oklahoma. She began living with her brother at a Norman apartment in January 2019. Police believe the woman was murdered sometime between February 17th and April 18th of 2018. She would have been 18 or 19 at the time of her death. Police believe the couple kept the body wrapped in their apartment and then later in the house in Norman before it was moved to their friend's basement. Police reported.
Wait, so wait, it went to a second location?
It moved around. I wonder how you have that conversation. Like, hey, I talked to you about something. Can you do me a favor? Can you put my sister's body in your basement? Okay.
Oh, boy, that's a friendship.
It makes me want, I mean, because there's so many areas where money is so ridiculously tight. And there's poverty in so many areas. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many people are doing this shit that we're not knowing about. You know, where people are just, you know, they're kind of, you know, somewhat off the grid. There's not a lot of people that care about them that are going to report someone necessarily missing. And
those checks are coming in.
And those checks are coming in
on a monthly basis. And as long as that body's not found, that check still shows up.
I think you do an examination of a lot of rural methed out areas of any part of the country. And there's a lot of methed out areas of Oklahoma. You'd find some of this shit, I think, fairly common, in my opinion. I mean, you drive through some of those towns and it's like you just fucking landed in The Walking Dead. And it literally is. People are walking around. They walk like the zombies. They act like the zombies. Everything's closed and decrepit and falling apart. And the only people left are the methed out zombies. There's plenty of towns like that in Oklahoma. There's plenty of towns like that all over the central part of the U.S. and in others. I'm just speaking to where I live and travel regularly. You kind of got to know where you're going to land. You don't want to be out there going, oh, I'll just find a hotel somewhere along the way anymore. You want to kind of get to like safe harbor. Otherwise, you could end up at what was once the La Quinta, but that was too high end. Then it became the Days Inn. And now it's just Chuck's Motor Lodge, which is also a brothel whore crack house. And the pool is empty and there's needles everywhere. And you God knows what is going on. It's really the reality of it. It's third world in a lot of places. Police reported go ahead.
I just, what really has me reeling about this story is the smell.
They couldn't figure this out. Go to fucking Walmart, buy a freezer. You can get a cheap one that you could store the body in. Police reported the husband and wife gave multiple conflicting stories about what happened to Sandoval. The wife told an investigator for the Oklahoma Department of Human Services in 2018 that Sandoval had gone to take out the trash and never came back. Investigators used a search warrant to obtain Octavio Sanchez's Facebook images. They found multiple conversations between Octavio and Desiree in regards to wrapping up the body with plastic and moving the body around the house due to the smell, according to the affidavit. And I'm glad, isn't it great they communicated this through Facebook?
Right.
Investigators also found messages where Octavio thought the police were at the apartment complex because of the body smelling. Octavio began messaging Desiree, telling her to tell the police that he did everything. However, in one message, the husband wrote to his wife, "I will kill you too if she tells him," according to the affidavit. Also in the Facebook messages, investigators learned that Desiree and Octavio believe that Margarita is haunting them, which might be true. In one conversation, Octavio tells Desiree that Margarita was not letting him get to his phone to contact her. Desiree replied that Margarita is only messing with him because she was not there. Desiree confirmed that Octavio that Margarita was haunting her too. Desiree told Octavio that Margarita knows what she did, and that is why she is haunting them.
You know what you did.
I could see that of all the shit in this story, that's like one of the logical ones of like, yeah.
Well, you do a lot of ghost story things. Mm-hmm. Do we have vengeful ghosts?
Oh, shit. That, yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I could see that actually being true. And I mean, these people are insane and they caused this to happen. But yeah, I could see that being possible. Or it could be a lot of meth. Prosecutors filed the murder charges after the state pathologist completed an autopsy report this month and listed the manner of death as homicide. Medical examiner reported Sandoval died as a result of undetermined means. Cleveland County District Attorney Greg Mashburn said Friday praised Norman police detectives for their work to find enough evidence to get the charges filed. You mean like finding a body in a freezer? That's good job, guys. Police arrested, or not even in a freezer. You smelled it because it was out in plastic. Police arrested Desiree Sanchez Thursday evening. Octavio Sanchez already was in custody awaiting sentencing in Oklahoma City Federal Court for illegally possessing a firearm. Norman police found a pistol hidden in the trash can in the garage of his home on May 14th of 2021. Police searched the home as part of the investigation into Sandoval's death. Octavio Sanchez was prohibited from possessing a firearm because of a felony conviction in Arkansas. The couple also faced federal charges accusing them of converting Sandoval's Social Security disability payments and pandemic stimulus checks to their own use after they were no longer providing care for her. So it was about money completely. And they got away with it for quite some time. And then somebody finally caught it. And then the police were like, look at us. We did good. We did. It's like the circle jerk that they had at Uvalde, where they're all on stage going, thanks to our efforts. Like, you fucking didn't do shit, motherfuckers. Get off the stage with your big fucking hats.
That whole scene, I wanted to vomit.
Oh, my God. And then everybody went after Beto O'Rourke for calling him out. Like, get out of here. You don't belong
here.
Sit
down, son.
Sit down.
Son of a bitch.
I love when they call somebody son. Because anybody who, like, walks around and calls somebody son, you know, is probably also extremely racist.
It's just, absolutely. It's like,
it's like one step, because it's asserting your dominance over somebody for age. And you can goddamn bet that they're going to assert their dominance over other people for their race if that's how they're talking. It's
100%.
It's just like it comes with the territory.
It does.
So they went up and like, oh, yeah, we are great work. You smelled a dead body that's been decomposing since 2018. Bravo.
Yeah, that's not great work. That's just a sense of smell.
Bravo to you. And somebody else had to tell you about it first. When you've already been to the scene multiple times. Good job.
And, you know, that's the thing about these checks coming in for disability checks, Social Security. I really think the person receiving the check needs to be accountability that you either check in person, you know, like once a month, once every 2 months, that it is you.
Yeah.
Or now in the world of Zoom, just a quick Zoom. Hi, I'm still alive. I'm good. You know, so that we don't have, you know, bodies sitting in plastic containers in the basement.
Well, it's ridiculous the amount of money that the percentage of the funds that were released for COVID, they like estimate it's like what 60-70% like was fraudulently claimed.
Yeah.
Like that high, like you're going above 50, you're going above like 10. Like I could see like an acceptable range of like maybe 10-15%, usually not that acceptable, but like par for the course for the U.S. government, but fucking 60-70%. Cause they just basically said COVID have money.
Well, it was like a strip cup.
It's like whether you need it or not.
Thrown bills
take
everywhere.
The money.
Yep. You can have some.
And you're like, you want some more money? Apply over here. Just check this box. Say you need it. And then,
And I mean the crooks and criminals just came out of the woodwork. And those of us sitting around going, I still have to go to work. I was pissed. I was pissed.
It was insane. It was one of the dumbest things we've ever done. It's just like what the fuck? Are you serious?
Here's your money.
Yeah. And it still goes on. There's still, and then be like, and then nobody wants to work. And we created a whole other nightmare out of a nightmare. We're good at that. That's like, it's just be like our fucking theme in America. One nightmare after another.
Yeah. We have bodies in the basement, technically.
Oh my God. It's
welcome to America, everybody.
Q Brooks Yeehaw! And Dunn. Only in America. And like you can leave the country if you don't like it. I know I like my country. I like what it was. I don't like what it is.
I want my country back. I just all this bullshit that we've been enduring over the last probably 8 years.
All of it. Yeah.
All of it.
I just want normalcy back. And it's not a party thing. It's a fucking sanity thing because both sides are out of their fucking minds. A high-profile pastor was robbed during a live stream service in New York City. There's a lot of questions to be asked here about this. Number one, why does a pastor have $1 million worth of jewelry available for stealing? That might be question number one.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You're a pastor. Like, what about like the vow of poverty? I mean, you know, I don't believe that you need to do that, or you don't have to be poor, but you don't need to be living big pimping it up. You're Jay-Z when you're a fucking pastor. Like, live within your, like, live in a nice normal life. You can have a safe neighborhood and all that, but maybe not, you know, like Beverly Hills style home, maybe more conservative on that, enough to be comfortable.
Look at all these mega churches. You know,
they disgust me.
The money. Just maybe you and I are doing the wrong thing for a living.
Oh, I've thought of it. I thought, like, you know, if I wanted to, I could go to be a fucking pastor and just spew bullshit all day, and I could be very compelling about it and make a lot of money.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't be happy. I couldn't live a life of lying like that. But some people, that little trigger that says this is bullshit, you can't really do that, doesn't exist. It's just make some money. No, I mean, it's crazy. There's some here. There's one we call Six Flags Over Jesus, because it has like these ginormous crosses that God knows how much they cost to put up. And the campus is ridiculously large. And it's, I don't know, it just seems like so much excess and the vanity of it. And it doesn't feel to me church-like. It feels like, I don't know, like an entertainment venue. And I get, and again, some people get something out of it. Good, great. But I don't know, when you look at the life of some of these pastors then, and that they're living, it's like, holy shit.
It's frightening. Have you ever watched on HBO, The Righteous Gemstones?
Love it. Yes. Several times.
Yeah. And I, you know, art imitating life, really.
It's 100% accurate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one in Branson that I went to for a little while, and I kind of liked the pastor. And then he like stopped like coming all the time to church because he was out on tour. And then it really got to the point where like he was very like celebrity like and wouldn't talk to people. And it's just like, what the fuck? What the
fuck? You're not Brad Pitt.
No, it was so stupid. Gunman burst into the church, burst into his church as the pastor was live streaming a service in Brooklyn on Sunday, making off with more than $1 million worth of jewelry from him and his wife, according to the New York Police Department. Thieves targeted Bishop Lamour Whitehead, who leads the Leaders of Tomorrow International Churches and is known for flashy displays of wealth. They do this so they can have it tax exempt. They create a church so they can live this life, and it's all tax exempt. Whitehead also describes New York Mayor Eric Adams, the former president of the Brooklyn Borough, as his mentor. Whitehead recounted the robbery in a video on Instagram, describing the moment during the morning service when he saw several armed men enter the Leaders of Tomorrow Church in the Carnesea neighborhood of Brooklyn. When I saw them come into the sanctuary with their guns, I told everybody, get down, Whitehead said. I didn't know if they wanted to shoot the church up or if they were just coming for a robbery. It was the latter. Tallying the value of what was taken, a spokesperson from the Office of the Deputy Commissioner for Public Information told NPR that the three gunmen removed more than $1 million worth of jewelry from the victims. The thieves fled on foot before getting into a white Mercedes-Benz, a spokesperson said. Whitehead says
a getaway car.
He chased the men on foot and then in his car, adding that he knows they changed their clothes in the car and took off their masks. No one was hurt in the incident, police say. In the video, Whitehead said it was both a gift and a curse to become a well-known religious figure. The pastor also made headlines in May when he mediated the surrender of a New York City subway shooting suspect, Andrew Abdullah. At the time, Whitehead said he was connected to the suspect's family through his church, but it was the pastor's ostentatious appearance, wearing a Fendi suit jacket. As he stepped out.
Do you know how much a Fendi suit is?
As he stepped out of a Rolls Royce.
Oh, my God.
At a legal aid office and drew the most attention. Some of the criticism renewed after the robbery as people questioned whether the church leader should be living in luxury. Whitehead acknowledged the high value of the stolen jewelry, saying the men had likely watched his sermons to scout their target. But he added, those are merely material things. Yeah, and you know those millions of dollars could have gone to help like people in your congregation that are in poverty. Maybe there isn't anybody that's in poverty that's going to a church like that. I don't know. But you could help with that. It doesn't
mean like the people who have a body in their basement because they're stealing Social Security checks because they can't do anything else. Those are the people that could have been helped.
Get a fucking Taurus. Spend your money on things that you claim to be very high on, like godliness and helping others. And don't buy Fendi suits. There's plenty of decent ones you could get at the JCPenney if you're
Men's
a pastor.
Men's Warehouse.
Yeah. Whitehead acknowledged the high value of the stolen. Okay. I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, why are you so flashy? He said, it's not about being flashy. Bullshit. It's about me purchasing what I want to purchase. It's my prerogative to purchase. Oh, Bobby Brown's it. My prerogative to purchase what I want to purchase. If I worked hard for it, I can purchase what I want to purchase. But here's the deal. You're making egregious amounts of money off of the people at your fucking church.
Yeah.
It's not like you're really out there, you know, digging ditches or like doing hard fucking work. Members of his church were traumatized by the robbery, Whitehead said. He also asked anyone with information to get in touch, saying he wants to be sure the gunman can surrender safely to police. According to the church's website, Whitehead is active in business as well as in the ministry, ongoing mortgage and real estate companies, owning mortgage and real estate companies. Okay, so... there you go. I think they should probably do a little bit of a investigation into him, like IRS, and see.
I was just going to say he needs to be audited.
Just how much of that
something's not right?
How much of that money from the church is going to the other businesses to fund that? And these seems like there might be a bit of a laundering thing going on at a place like this.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I almost feel like I wonder how staged this shit was to get attention. Because this is someone who clearly is a fucking narcissist, and you know he went to that the guy who did the subway pushing, came out in a Fendi suit out of a Rolls Royce and got all that attention. He came out like a fucking prince. Now there was no need for that at all. That's a total narcissist move. So narcissists don't really feel guilt or anything of that nature. So I would not be surprised if there's far other dark shit going on with this guy. I do not feel bad for him one fucking second. I wonder if this was staged. I wonder if it was staged to get attention. I think at the end of the day, we're going to find something like that out.
I 100% agree. And I just, you know, it makes me wonder if we don't need to crack down on what is a church.
We do.
Stop giving them these tax havens to hide behind.
Well, look at Scientology. Look at that shit. I mean, they have so many crazy people in there that they finally pressured the government to become a to become a tax exempt entity because they were literally going after the IRS employees and their families and targeting them. And after so much time, they just said, fuck it. Like, we can't put our employees through this shit. Fine, here's your tax exempt status. And now they're mainly a property holding company that has all this property and all this wealth. And it's utterly insane. And their numbers are not great. I mean, it's creepy. It's a cult.
Yeah, but they've got some very wealthy members that are just funding this thing.
I don't know how anybody, I don't know. After knowing what we know now about Scientology, I can have some grace, I think, and feel a little more sorry for people who fell for it in the 90s and the 80s or whatnot, before there was mass information about this place.
Yeah.
But today, not so much. There's just overwhelming evidence. I mean, it's like saying, you know, defending R. Kelly at this point. It's like,
pretty much,
there's overwhelming evidence that this is not what it's supposed to be.
Well, and isn't the founder's wife still missing?
Yeah, nobody knows where the fuck she is. Yeah, Shelley Miscavige. Like, nobody knows where the fuck she is. It's all just been like, she says she's okay, but nobody's seen her.
She's in a plastic container in the basement.
The allegations against David Miscavige have been very brutal about his alleged abusive people and such. So one could understand if, you know, maybe he did something to her or is holding her back, but somehow the police never really dig in very much to go do a wellness check, or they're
well,
pointed
they're
away
to do a wellness check with that family.
It's crazy. We know already plenty of dark shit about Scientology. When this is all said and done and the ultimate movie is made 20, 30 years from now,
yeah,
it's going to be really dark. It's going to be,
people are going to be scratching their heads going, why didn't somebody do something about this?
Yeah.
Well, it's because of fear. They're terrified of this church.
It's like nobody did anything about R. Kelly forever. I mean, it was because of fear. It was because of he's too powerful. And eventually he got taken down. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that day. Tulsa man allegedly tries to rob a convenience store, pays for cigars, then flees. I should also mention this is one of the fine human beings who've decided that tattooing their face up to look like a lizard was a good idea.
I do think this is a visual. I think people need to look this guy up because when I saw it, I literally went,
yeah. If you're doing that, there's something mentally wrong with you. Now, I'm not saying if you have a little bit here and there, and I don't find it attractive or appealing in any way, shape, or form. I think it's a stupid ass move to tattoo anything on your face if you'd like to be gainfully employed someday. Although the standards are dropping so low for that, it doesn't really matter anymore, I guess. But this would still frighten a child if he was working at the Walmart checkout. A man was taken into custody last week after he allegedly tried to rob a convenience store and then tried to flee from police on a bus. So we already have good decision making here going on. It was on July 24th, according to the police department. The story from True Crime Daily. Officers received a call about a robbery by force of fear at a Quick Trip at 7878 East Admiral Place. According to officials at the Quick Trip, reportedly told police that the masked man attempted to rob the store, then became frustrated that the clerk misunderstood his demands and grabbed merchandise. The suspect, who police identified as Oscar Alejo Garcia, allegedly ran and got on a southbound bus. Tulsa police said Garcia went into the store wearing a jacket and hat and covered his face in a bandana. You don't need to do it when you've tatted your face up that much. Jesus. He allegedly put a bag on the counter and demanded small bills from the cashier. Why small?
Oh, he's probably going to the strip joint.
Small bills? A clerk reportedly asked Garcia to repeat what he said, and Garcia said, small bills. It's like, are you sure? The clerk reportedly thought Garcia said something about cigarettes, so he asked if Garcia wanted Marlboro Reds. Garcia then said he'd take Marlboro 100s. Police said Garcia became frustrated in his inability to pull off the robbery and abandoned the attempt. Before he left, he reportedly filled his bag with energy pills from the area around the cash register. Then he allegedly paid for black and mild cigars and ran.
Wait, with the money he stole?
I don't know, but he gave them money. Police reportedly followed the bus he got on. Then he surrendered to officers at a bus stop. Garcia reportedly visited the Quick Trip earlier that day, too, but he was recognized because of his distinct appearance. You fucking think? So even this, if you don't want to be gainfully employed, it still fucks up your robbery attempts. You fucking idiot.
Yeah, you got to think this through. You really do.
Garcia was booked on charges of strong arm robbery, wearing a mask in commission of a felony and gang related offenses. Tulsa County Jail records show bond is set at $25,000. This is another human being where it's like, I'm sorry, you don't need to be alive out there. You don't need to be roaming the streets because you're inevitably going to kill somebody, hurt somebody, ruin somebody's life because you're fucking insane. And we're just going to keep
100%.
He's going to keep getting horrible. He's going to keep doing like these small things until eventually he kills somebody and we'll be like, we didn't see it happening. I couldn't see that one happening. Really? Mm-hmm. Like the lizard tattoo that he literally looks like a lizard. Didn't kind of tip you off that maybe there's something not clicking right within the mind of this human being. So there's two options. Either we remove him from society or we really try and work at mental health and rehabilitation for somebody. And if that doesn't work, then keep him out of society. But those are the options. It's not just, oh, go back, do whatever you please.
Really want to believe that maybe he, at the counter, got some money and then decided to pay for shit with the money he just stole. Because that's what I want to believe about this story. I think that's just incredible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100%. It's
so polite.
You can't make up stupid anymore. I mean, even if you tried and like, here's what the criminal did, it would be like, nah, that's too crazy. Nobody would do that. No. Oh,
no, that's what we feature on this show. They fucking
would. They
love
would.
It.
It's pretty much show prep every day. So
every day.
Yeah. It used to be back in the day before there was the internets and all of this. We get something from the Associated Press computer called the Kickers. And the Kickers were like, they give you like 4 or 5 a day. And it was usually like kind of stupid criminal story stuff. But they were like, they're kind of like, and then he got into a rowboat to escape. It wasn't as extreme as things are today. Like, the highlight would have been like the rowboat. It's like he robbed the store, did this, and then got in the rowboat. Oh my gosh, a rowboat. It wasn't he looked like a lizard. It tried to steal small bills and then paid for cigars and stole energy pills and got on a bus. And
Well, and you know that he would have been completely messed up because those energy pills that are right at the, the checkout, those are not good.
Never tried them. I have no desire to.
No, they're bad. Your heart will just be palpitating so fast in your chest that you'll feel like you're dying.
I tried a 5-hour energy once and I didn't like it. That was not good. It was, I was driving back late at night from an airport where I had to get it was a 5-hour drive. It was from Green Bay back to Traverse City, Michigan. And there's a lake in the way. So you kind of got to go through upper Michigan and back down. And I was so tired from being on that flight and being up all day. And then I had that 5 hours to drive because I had a morning show to do the next day. Ew. And it was plagued with more deer than I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
It was like literally every... If I wasn't seeing one, the next mile, I'd see another one. It was just I saw hundreds of deer on that drive. There was not like, I don't think I went for 3 minutes straight without seeing a deer.
So it was just like playing Frogger.
The whole time. I thought, if I don't hit a deer, I will be lucky because the odds are here for me. And it was horrific. I've had so many horrific drives through Northern Michigan. And to me, it's one of the most beautiful places. I love it. But I've done the deer drive of death. And then I also drove back for a funeral once to Wisconsin in the middle of a blizzard in a Ford Taurus. And I couldn't see the sides of the road. I didn't know where I was going. I just kind of judged it by there's trees way over there and over there. And I think the road's somewhere in the center here. And I did that. Didn't see snowplows forever. There was no hotels that were open because it was winter. And I made it. It would turn into a 15-hour drive, but I made it going about 30 miles an hour through all of the Upper Peninsula. And
yeah,
that was dumb. I was.
Well, it's beautiful country, but you're going to have the wildlife that goes with it as well.
Even they were hiding.
They don't understand road signs. They don't care.
No, it was. Yeah, that's it's an interesting place up there where if you're there in the wrong season, it's it can get a little spooky. With wildlife.
And then you put the 5-hour energy on top of it. And
yeah.
You're just like white knuckling it the entire way.
That made it worse. That made it like I was just maybe more jittery of the whole thing. So not a fan of that. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of True Crime Today. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our latest episodes. And leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We greatly appreciate it.
True Crime Today. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our full episodes, breaking news updates, and daily briefs from True Crime Today.